Okay, Matthew 25:34. Let me get into it. I'm going to attempt to bring change in one session, hopefully, by the grace of God. And it's really something that's on our hearts at Kingdom Life Church, aptly named Kingdom Life Church, because we weren't Kingdom Life Church a short time ago. But our emphasis has become more kingdom mindful than perhaps it was before. Matthew 25:34 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" Did you hear that? Kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Important thing. I've come to realize that the church and the kingdom are not the same, though they are related, and in fact the church is there to serve the kingdom. There is an alternative to the world system. It's a counterculture, and it's an alternative society, and it's called the kingdom of God. And you know, you don't have to read too much of the news to realize our world is broken. And, you know, if you're of any age at all, we realize that, you know, we probably, all of us here are post-World War II, you know, in terms of our mindfulness of it. And really, when you weigh it all up that's happening in our world and in our nation, it's never been like this. You know, there's one thing after another. COVID comes at us. Climate change comes at us. The energy prices come at us. War in Ukraine, so there's not enough food going to be coming. It's just endless, isn't it? And we live in a selfish society that creates a lot of what I've just said. So the kingdom of God is an alternative that we can become a part of that becomes a counterculture to what's going on. And I know Carl mentioned earlier, and numerous people mentioned on the estate this week, "What, you've come from Newcastle to do this?" Yeah. Why would anybody do that? You know, I know full well, you know, if you're as far south as South Wales, Newcastle's the back of beyond, isn't it? No, nobody's been there on their holidays, have they? Right? Sue, are you a Geordie? Yeah. Sorry, I've insulted you two. I've just realised you're here as well, yeah. It's because Bill's not, yeah. I've just realised that. We've more than one Geordie here, I tell you what. Geordies are great people. And I'm not saying that because they're here. Newcastle is actually, officially, the friendliest city in Britain. Did you know that? And if you're a football fan who went to St James's years ago, you might dispute that. But it is, it really is. And we found that, you know, we, as outsiders going in, we found that that is true. It really is. So there is an alternative. I want you to understand that. And if you're new to church, I know some of you here for the first time. There is an alternative to the world system. There is a counterculture. And it is an alternative society. It's a different way to live. And the Bible says this of it, it's a kingdom that won't be shaken. Praise the Lord for that. So the kingdom existed before the church. Matthew 25:32-34 makes it clear. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The church wasn't prepared for us before the creation of the world. It was the kingdom that was. So before the creation was the kingdom. The church only became necessary after Genesis chapter 3. That is, after the fall of man, the church became necessary to bring restoration down the line, of course. But the kingdom had already been here. And what was lost at the fall was the kingdom and dominion that man had within that kingdom. And the reason that God could entrust man with to have dominion and to rule and reign from him in this visible part of the invisible kingdom that existed in heaven was because there'd never been a break in the love relationship. So man, in his original form, loved at the level that God loved at. So he could be trusted with anything because he'd never do a selfish act. He'd never do anything with a wrong agenda. So he could be trusted. Then comes the fall and the kingdom's lost and dominion is lost. And somebody else starts to take charge. The kingdom existed then before our earth and our world. Then God created the earth and mankind to expand a kingdom that already existed in heaven. If you like, I can't think of the word, so I'll come back to that. Then came the fall. At the fall, the kingdom on earth, and I'm purposely taking time here, repeating things. At the fall, the kingdom on earth came to an end because Satan usurped man's authority on the earth. At that point, Satan became the god of this age, and the old world system came under his control. Be of no illusions. How do we know that? Because Scripture tells us. 1 John 5:19 says this. We know that we are children of God. And that the old world is under the control of the evil one. So I've said, even this week I've been talking about this. And I've talked about when you're talking to a person and they say, I'm not that bad. You know, God won't judge me because I've been a decent person, a good person. Well, then, do you think the human race is guilty? Is the human race guilty? What happened at the Holocaust? How many people died? What's happened over the ages where children have been taken from their parents? You know, you've just had a big news story here a few weeks ago, haven't you, with Morgan, little Morgan, found in the river. God has had to watch this. I've worked in Rwanda after the genocide. I've spoken about that to you in the past. I couldn't believe that what I was seeing was not a film, if you like. That the corpses of so many people, 800,000 people died within 3 months. Most of them at the end of a machete. So is the human race guilty? Absolutely. Well, it's the human race in God's court. And the only way out of it is to be born again into the redeemed race. Or you remain guilty, even if you've been a decent person. It's not about the individual thing. It boils down to that because it says it is appointed once for a man or person to die and then face judgment. So we have a world that can look okay, and there are good things in our world. There are good people in our world. But ultimately, it's being governed by an evil entity. So it was the kingdom and mankind's dominion that was lost at the fall. At this time, the church didn't exist. Prior to the fall, the kingdom was expanding through Adam and Eve. So when Jesus comes to earth, having been prophesied so many times, he comes to restore the kingdom. And his intent was to use the church, not the building, although you've got a fine one, and so have we actually, but it's called out people. That's the church. It's us. So us are to restore the kingdom. Never did he intend there to be those who might be called churchgoers. His intention was that all those who were born again and become kingdom citizens would be disciples, not merely converts. So there is consequence to being born again without becoming a disciple. It won't work as it should. It works to some degree because of the grace of God, but not to its fullest. And we want the fullest for this generation. We want the fullest expression of the gospel for the seasons that we're living in. I believe God showed me the following. He showed me an incense bowl of as yet unanswered prayer. that are ready to be answered as we walk deeper into the kingdom. I believe these answers will be poured out as we identify as kingdom citizens more than we have. Wherever the kingdom of heaven, God's headquarters, influences, becomes the kingdom of God. Jesus came to restore the kingdom. John the Baptist declared as a harbinger or a forerunner, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Change your thinking, because something new is coming. Jesus began his ministry in Matthew 4:17. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's here. So change your thinking now. To repent means to have a change of thinking. Do you think we now, listen to this, some of you know this, but do you think we now have over 41,000 denominations, Protestant denominations, 41,000 on earth? Do you think that could be because the church is unwittingly still trying to discover the kingdom? So, I think we reason, if only we add this or that, we'll be complete. So a denomination is formed in order to add what we perceive is still missing from the message and needs to be added. So some believe in sprinkling rather than full immersion. Just a few examples. Do you see what I'm saying? Some believe in speaking in tongues, some don't. Some used to believe women should wear a hat in church. How many remember that? Some don't. Some used to believe women should... Sorry, I've done that one. I didn't mean to repeat it, ladies. Some believe healing is for today. Some don't. Some believe that, as I've said, speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit are for today. Some don't. But Scripture clearly says this, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom? Really? Has been. It's past tense. It's not future tense. So as we venture deeper into the kingdom, the eyes of our hearts get enlightened. And we begin to experience what the Apostle Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So we can understand what God has prepared in his kingdom. What's available now. You know, I believe this, you know, maybe controversial to some of this, because I've already talked about who is the God of this world. But let me tell you this, he took a 100% defeat at Calvary, the God of this world. It wasn't a partial defeat. He didn't get resurrected. It was Jesus who got resurrected. The victory that took place was complete. He has not recovered. So what's the problem then? It's not him. Of course it's him in the sense he's a deceiver and a liar. It's us that we're not mature enough to understand and handle just how he attacks the church and how he deceives we believers. He wants you to be less than Jesus died to give you. He wants you to come to the negotiating table and accept less than Jesus died to give you. I don't believe, generally speaking, church answers these things. And I've been around a long time now. I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been, you know, what they call full-time ministry, but since 1989, here in the Rhondda. So, you know, I'm getting to be at that season stage. And I'm a thinker. And I think this, coming out of the pandemic, God is speaking and he's saying a few things. One thing he's saying is this, to us leaders, standards are important. Standards are important. How you live your life is important. Character is important. And he's also saying, I've got some news for you. And it's good news. I want to bring you into the kingdom in a way you've not perhaps understood before. And when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and he said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. When the Holy Spirit enters us, a life enters us that is just, it's incomprehensible to our fallen minds, but it's there and we know it's there. And we know, we know we have it now, but we are yet to experience it in its fullness. But we want now all that we can have, don't we? I don't want to postpone it, because the world needs us to have it. Some versions read there, in your midst or among you, but surely in your midst and among you meant while Jesus was on earth in a body, you know, his own body. Whereas now the kingdom is in us, because he now dwells in our bodies by his Spirit. So we've received a kingdom. Not a message to be churchgoers or to go to church. Very important. I'm a church man. But I've understood this. The church is there to serve the kingdom. Because the kingdom does not allow us to live as we want on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, but we go to church. The kingdom starts to show us that there are consequences to not living as Jesus wants us to live, and there are amazing benefits if we do live as he wants us to live. Could it be that Jesus is Savior in the church, I'm generalizing, and only Lord in the kingdom? Could it be that he's become just a saviour in the church? And it's only in the kingdom that he becomes Lord. Are we deficient because he's not Lord? Because his word's true, isn't it? You know, I'm a firm believer in the word of God. I don't detract anything from it. But I haven't seen it at the extent that it promises. And I feel the charismatic church has got weary and tired because its belief is so much, but we haven't realized it yet. And I believe there are reasons. Does our unwillingness to do what he says become a blockage to experiencing many of the benefits that are within what he says he has freely given us? He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? It's a big one, isn't it? I mean, it's logic, isn't it? You are Lord, you're my Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you're my Lord. Didn't get all those lyrics right, but I'm singing off the top of my head. Because we sing it, and we talk about it, but do we live it? And if we do, will it make a difference? If we do, will the church once again rise up in this country and start to take dominion over the darkness? Start to set people free? Start to bring masses of people to Christ? You know as well as I do, if you're a Welsh person here, Wales has had many revivals. At least 15 that are recorded. More than anywhere else in the world. Why? We were talking this, Peter, this week, actually. I don't know why. I'm glad. Because, you know, there's a part of me is Welsh. I've lived here long enough to feel Welsh to some degree. I really have. And my children are Welsh. They live in Wales. They're Welsh. They're not English. They're Welsh. I long for it. I long for it in my lifetime. I'm not happy with the status quo. In Newcastle or here, I'm not happy with the status quo. I'm 100% happy with him, but I'm not happy with the status quo, and I want to be part of the solution. Could it be that there is much more to be had, and many prayers are ready to be answered, if we will only seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. Surely it must, because in the epistles we're encouraged by the truth of Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So what is our message to be? Maybe it should be, Jesus will give you eternal salvation, lead you into a kingdom whereby if you seek kingdom life first, all your needs will be met. It's his promise. Hallelujah. My goodness, we've story after story to tell of God meeting our needs because, you know, as you've known us over the years, we weren't salaried people in Tanzania. We lived 6 years in Tanzania recently without any salary. There were times when your pastor, I'd meet with him and he'd go into his pocket and he'd pull out an envelope and there'd be some money. And it was like a miracle, I'm telling you. Because I knew at the time, we didn't even have money to get the air tickets back. And I'd think, Alex, you must have heard from God here because that's incredible. Numerous times that happened over years and I'm very, very grateful to it. You see, he promises to meet our needs. And Matthew 24:14 says, will we waken up to this? I think we should. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel of the kingdom, is there more to that than we thought? Have we accepted it's just preach the gospel, or shall we tell people there's a kingdom you can live in? And it's not about church. Church is an essential part of it, but it's a lifestyle that you live which takes you out of this world system and puts you in a place where you are at one with God in your daily lives. You see, God says this, all things work together for the good of what? Of who? There's something at the end of it. I can't really hear you, but some of you have got it right, I'm sure. But it says this. It says, for those who what? Those who agape the Lord. Those who will love him at the highest level, all things will work out together for the good. All things. It's his promise and he's not a liar. But has that fallen down sometimes because we don't love him at the level that he commanded us to love him? I think so. So being a part of a church can allow you not to love him at that level and it won't be challenged often. Being a kingdom citizen means it will be challenged often. You know, work on, if you're an unreasonable person, start to work on it. Because the church needs a better witness than unreasonable people. Come on now. It's getting tricky now, well, isn't it? It's saying, get off there now. You see, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. I'm an overcomer. I have many, many problems in my life because if it isn't me, it's the guys we've brought with us. No, they're wonderful. You can tell that. You can tell that. These are mature, wonderful Christians. But hey, I'm a pastor. Ask your pastor. If it ain't your own problem, you've got somebody else's. But I keep a smile on my face. I'll tell you why. I'm an overcomer. Whatever I waken up to, I'm going to overcome it in Jesus' name because there's somebody living in here and he's put a kingdom in me. And that kingdom is far greater than this world order. He took it to the cross and he nailed it there. In the early church, there was no denominational bias. There was no church history. There was no church traditions or ritual. They did what Jesus taught them and advanced the kingdom. There was no confusion like there is today of is this right or is that right. They just did what they were taught. We know, you know, the famous one is gold and silver we have not, but what we have. I've reasoned this. Could they hear the same voice in them that they'd heard outside of them? They'd been listening to Jesus' voice for 3.5 years. Now, by his Spirit, is in them, and they're still hearing him. So could they hear at the level that just raise him up? He's been crippled for a long time. You know, he's asking for money, but you haven't got any money to give him. But so tell him, what you have, you're going to give him. Did they hear it like that? Have you puzzled that? We hear the voice of the Lord, but we didn't hear him in human form. They did. I wonder. I don't know. I mean, it probably makes no difference, but I have wondered that. So, as the saying goes, God started the church. This is not my thought, but I've used it a lot. God started the church the way he wanted it. Now he wants the church the way he started it. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom, I repeat, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So if you're not a Christian here today, we're not just saying become a churchgoer. We're saying enter a completely new world that will do you nothing but good. And the more you live right within that world, the more blessed you are going to be, because you'll be an overcomer. Mark 4:11, Jesus said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Secrets. I want to say it is increasingly being given to us. Let's embrace a new day. Kingdom Life Newcastle, the Vine Church Bridgend, let's embrace a new day. New wineskin needs to be built. And God is saying, I want to pour some incredible new wine in. I believe it. I'm not going to be satisfied till that happens. Can I say this? Don't be so self-centered, believer, that you don't accept instruction from the Holy Spirit. Don't be so self-centered that you don't accept instruction from agape love. You see, we can have salvation without agape love. We can have church without agape. But we can't have the full benefits of the kingdom without agape love. It's a command. The kingdom functions in and out of agape love. That's how it works. That's the foundation. Paul says to the Ephesians, you having been rooted and established in agape love. Having been, meaning this should have taken place. And he goes on to say that you will know this agape, listen now, that surpasses knowledge. How can human beings surpass knowledge? Well, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit's education, and through words of knowledge, and through insight, you can surpass knowledge. We as believers, we as kingdom citizens can surpass knowledge. That we may know this love that surpasses knowledge. Then God will do more than we have asked or imagined through his power at work within us. Am I saying we've got it wrong? No. But I am saying there's a lot more to be had. In many ways, the church has hung out on grace, mainly because we're scared to lose people, if we're honest, whilst the kingdom offers total victory. We have churches full of charismatics who have become tired and unenthusiastic because what, I'm repeating again, but what we believed would happen hasn't. When I got saved, I was so unchurched. I was so blind to Scripture, but I knew he'd come in. I knew he was in there. And I knew it. Within a day, I was saying, Jesus, I love you. I'd never said anything like that in my life. But something changed in my heart. And I used to go to full gospel businessmen's dinners. And they used to have the big ones in Blackpool at the time. And I went to one, and they're preaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And then they had an altar call. And they preached there were 9 gifts, whether they're more or not, you know, is disputable. But they preached on 9 gifts. So I'm out at the front, this raw new believer. And the guy preaching says, so which gift would you like, young man? I said, all 9. I'll go for the lot if I can have them. I was so eager, so keen, so enlightened by this new world that I'd entered, that I'd have taken 15. Greedy. You greedy boy. Why have we become unenthusiastic? Why can we, in one hand, say Jesus lives in me and not have a smile on our faces? Why can we just live an ordinary life when we say the same, you know, Jesus lives in me? Something's wrong. Can I suggest something? We have, generally speaking, embraced the church, but not the kingdom. There's a simple answer. It may not be the whole answer, but it's part of the answer. So I want to finish by saying this. Will you, Vine Christian Center, take a step further into the kingdom? Will you take a step further into the kingdom? Everybody. You know, we're all at different stages. There may be some here, and I want to, in a moment, give you an opportunity to come to Christ, to receive salvation. And you may never have done that, but it's a simple thing. I did it. You know, some are here who heard my testimony on Friday. I did it by hearing words, Jesus will take you as you are. When I was in a bad place at the time. But he'll take you as you are. Didn't need convincing. I'd done a lot wrong in my life. He'll take you as you are. So on the one hand, I want you to ponder, Lord, help me to take a step. You may be a giant already, but take a further step. Then pull others behind you. You may think, yeah, I love Jesus, I'm part of the church, but really, I don't fully understand the kingdom. I don't understand what this kingdom inside of me can do for me, for others. So I want to invite us to a prayer to help those here who maybe have never said this prayer. I want to ask us to follow my words and say a corporate prayer together, though most certainly do not need to say this. Follow my words this morning. Jesus is inviting us into a kingdom. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned, got things wrong in my life, but I believe you died for me, that I can be forgiven, I can be cleansed, and I choose to receive you as my Savior. I do this by faith and will follow you from this day forward.